Every time I think about Trump, I get allergic.
It took one stumble, captured on camera at the 9/11 memorial ceremony in New York, to trigger an avalanche of reactions over the state of Hillary Clinton's health.
When Clinton coughs, we get a cold.
Media across the political and geographical divide seized on the episode to question whether or not Clinton will survive. The Democratic presidential nominee left the 9/11 ceremony on Sunday after feeling overheated. But for critics, the attention paid to her health is too much.
It's quite astounding that we talk so much about what, after all, is a very legitimate reason to be off the campaign trail.
And I think the allure of the U.S. presidency, we're almost riveted to it.
We are in a trap because campaigns are not discussing real policies.
So are the media reporting on the real issues that matter to the American people? Why all the fuss over one woman's health? To help us answer these questions, I'm joined by Scott Lucas from Birmingham University and journalists Kinder Kambar and Philip Crowther. Welcome to my guests and welcome to you. Let's start with Scott Lucas in Birmingham. Were you surprised by last weekend's media frenzy?
I was a little bit surprised at the media jumping several steps ahead and saying, okay, does this mean she's going to drop out? And what will the Democrats have to do? And is this it? You know, even if she doesn't drop out, is this really the end for the Clinton campaign? I mean, at the end of the day, it was walking pneumonia. It wasn't even a hospitalization case. And while that's not a pleasant condition to have, and it can be quite draining and fatiguing, it was unlikely that it was going to knock Clinton out. But Americans always pay close attention to the health of their presidential candidates, and indeed the health of their presidents. And so at least for, 24, 48, 72 hours, the news cycle was simply going to be all about whether Hillary was standing, stumbling, or falling.
Clinton's doctors were forced to disclose that she had been diagnosed with pneumonia just 2 days earlier, sparking outcry that she had lied to reporters. When it comes to the U.S. presidential elections, the health of the person running for the White House has always been a sensitive issue. But the media has been criticized for focusing essentially on Clinton's health history and not on Donald Trump's, some say because she's a woman. Lucas, though, doesn't agree.
I think the Trump campaign played upon gender as part of their tactics, which well before this case of Clinton's pneumonia, meant to raise questions about her suitability for being president. Was she up to the job? Could she stand the pace? And I think given the impression that, she's a woman and women can be a bit weak and a bit frail, I think they were playing with that, certainly. That said, I don't see a real gender issue. Once the pneumonia came out, I don't think she was treated differently from a man. If this was a male or female candidate, the vision of that candidate being almost lifted into a car and close to collapse is going to provoke attention. Whether it's a male or female candidate, hearing that word pneumonia is going to raise a red flag up with the media and with the American people.
Philip Crowther, a reporter at our sister station France 24, reported for 3 days nonstop on Clinton's health.
The truth is that when it comes to U.S. presidential elections, the question is always asked, and it is an awkward one, is the person running for president fit enough to be president and to stay in office without any health trouble for the next 4 and potentially 8 years?
You've had at least 2 clots. How does that factor into a decision about whether to run for president and all the flying that that entails?
Doesn't factor in at all.
In December 2012, Clinton suffered a concussion and shortly after had a blood clot, which was treated with medication. But her doctors say today she has no significant after effects. And if you compare her to previous presidents, she's not the first person to fall sick and try and hide it, explains Lucas.
Franklin Delano Roosevelt had questions about his health because of the polio. And he went to great lengths to make sure that that was limited in the way that he was framed in photographs and the way that he gave speeches. John F. Kennedy covered up the fact that he suffered from a debilitating back condition from an injury from World War II and was on painkillers constantly because he didn't want questions raised, even though, not because he's a woman, because he was supposedly a virile man and he wanted to maintain that image. Ronald Reagan faced questions after he was shot in the early 80s and indeed going into the 84 campaign with Walter Mondale, until he had that killer line at the first debate, which said, am I going to make age an issue in this campaign, or should it be an issue? No, I promise that I will not talk about my opponent's youth and inexperience.
So she's not the first leader to fall sick, but if everyone's talking about it, they're doing so on social media, where word gets out very quickly, says Scott Lucas.
The game has changed with social media being there. The messages that you put out, the way that you have to respond, you don't have the time, you don't have the space to be able to come up with a measured response. You've got to come back quickly. I think in a broader sense, that has been true not just of Clinton's health issue, that is true of 2016 and why this campaign, I think, is unprecedented. It is very, very hard for the Washington correspondents or the reporters on the election trail to be able to define a story now. There just simply isn't the time and space because your readers have already gone elsewhere.
Kinta Kanba, a Washington correspondent for Al Arab newspaper, specializing on the U.S.'s foreign policy towards the Middle East, says that journalists are struggling to compete with the demands of social media.
We lack the real story, the substantive story that the campaigns are not discussing. We are in a trap because campaigns are not discussing real policies. They're not putting in front of the journalists their plans, and they are not discussing their, domestic or international policies. We are forced to cover stories that the social media or the bloggers are breaking, and we are in that situation. We journalists, we're a human being, we have bills to pay, and we have to write a story to survive. So we are in a difficult situation.
On Twitter, the hashtag Hillary Clinton Collapse or Bring Back Bernie Sanders were the biggest trending stories of the day. And even if U.S. and foreign media have different editorial policies, Philip Crowther says on Hillary, they were all following the same line.
I would say that in the European media generally, we do care a little bit more about foreign policy and the actual policy proposals of the candidates, but that doesn't mean that I myself have not been talking about the health of Hillary Clinton nonstop for the last 3 days. It is something that the whole world wants to know about at this point.
But like Kinda Kanbar pointed out earlier, the media seems to be missing the point, and our obsession with Hillary's health is distracting us away from uncovering the real issues behind this election campaign, says Scott Lucas.
Can you think of a single in-depth story about the issue of health care in the 2016 campaign? And we're only a few years removed from one of the most comprehensive reforms of the American health care system in history, Obamacare. Yet Trump has not been called to account except for a very brief moment in one of the Republican debates for the fact that he has no health care policy. He's completely incoherent in what he would do to change Obamacare. Clinton has not been questioned about her firm support for Obamacare and what it means. In other words, I think we could get to November, and rather than talking about health care, we're talking about the state of Clinton's health or Trump's health. We could get to November, instead of talking about immigration, an issue that has been at the center of American politics for decades. We could still be talking about whether Donald's going to build the wall or whether he's going to keep all Muslims out of the U.S. Social media is vital for what I do, but right now, as a tool, I do think that we are seeing it stands in the way of, I think, effective discussion. Coverage. And there's some very good reporters on the trail, very, very good reporters on the trail. But the story sort of defines what they have to do. You take a time to write a 4,000 or 5,000-word piece to try to define the issues. But if your editor doesn't think you're going to get the readers for it, is he or she going to allow you to devote the time? I'm not sure.
For now, journalists covering the U.S. elections are having to juggle with a lot of intimate detail about the candidates' health records, as both Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump released documents about their medical history. Philip Crowther says it's absurd.
What is equally absurd is the fact that the American voter expects to know so, so many details about a presidential candidate's medical records. Those that were released by Hillary Clinton recently were incredibly detailed. Those released by Donald Trump, a little bit less so, but they do still give details like his weight, for example. Donald Trump can now officially be called by everybody overweight.
With less than 2 months to go before Election Day, experts hope that the focus of the campaign will shift away from Hillary fainting and if Donald Trump is overweight, to whether or not they actually have the policies to lead the country. You've been listening to International Media with me, Christina Rochello. A big thank you to my guests, Scott Lucas, Kinder Kanbar and Philip Crowther. And a special thank you to you for listening. Until next time, stay tuned to RFI.